Facebook Live. Carlo, we get this question. Valerie, I have a Protestant friend who I am trying to explain purgatory to. I use Wisdom Chapter 3, but she still does not understand the concept of having to be purified. Is there a better scriptural reference that I might be able to use?
Yes. Well, the key classic text that has always been referred to in the tradition of the church is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, where St. Paul is talking about no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. Then he talks about if one builds upon this foundation, the certain works that we build on this foundation with are going to be tested, St. Yeah. Paul says. And a key phrase there, he says in verse 13, the day will disclose it, hemera in Greek, which is normally used in reference to the day of judgment, which according to Hebrews 9:27 is after death. So St. Paul is talking about a state of existence after death. He goes on describing these various types of works. Some works are wood, hay, stubble. The other works are gold, silver, and precious stones. And he talks about how these works of the individual are going to be put through a fire, tested by fire, as he writes. So there's this sort of testing of the works. If the works, he says, are, gold, silver, and precious stones, they will survive the testing of the fire, right? They will remain. That implies that these are good works. The wood, hay, stubble, which represents bad works, are going to be burned up in the testing of the fire, according to St. Paul. But, he says, when these works are purified or burned up in the testing, the individual will suffer loss. Although, St. Paul says, he will be saved as if through fire there in verse 15. He will be saved only as through fire. So notice, Si, St. Paul's talking about a state of existence that's after death, because he says the day, sort of the day of judgment, right? And the individual is going to be standing before God, which according to the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi, I think chapter 3, verse 5, I might be mistaken, but it's you got to check it again for me. God is a refiner's fire, right?
Yeah.
So we have the day. It's a state of existence in the afterlife, and the individual is going to be have sin on the soul. So that rules out this state of existence being heaven, because no sin can exist in heaven, right? But yet, this individual is saved, sozo in Greek, which has to do with salvation, right? Not just in a temporal sense, but in an eternal sense. But he's going to be saved as only by through fire, which that image calls to mind a sense of purgation. So if the individual has a sins and the individual is suffering, it can't be heaven. But it can't be hell either, side, because the individual is saved.
Right.
And in Louisiana terms, there ain't no folk in hell that's getting out, right? So we have a state of existence in the afterlife that's neither heaven nor hell. And the individual is undergoing a sort of purgation of venial faults, what we would call venial sins, right? Lesser degree sins. What do we call that? We simply call it purgatory, which means purgation. So that's the key text that we always turn to. And even Jesus seems to imply the existence of purgatory. Well, not seems, he does, because the church has definitively used this text in support of purgatory in her magisterial documents in Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, when Jesus Christ talks about the unforgivable sin, and this sin will not be forgiven in this age, nor in the age to come, which implies in the age to come, which biblical scholars will suggest is the afterlife, some sins can be forgiven or purged or remitted, namely venial faults. And it can't be heaven, can't be hell. We call it purgatory.